Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
And now let's dive into today's episode.
And so he's the kick where the ass is. Husband and wife got each other's back no matter what.
Where we went to church every Sunday. We had family game night. We had family prayer night. And I always just felt safe and protected. And I never saw my parents argue.
Public fighting with my parents, the yelling, the cursing, the saying things to your spouse that you should never ever say to another human being, knowing that God will never leave her and her husband will never leave her.
They called it a marriage reset that they said they do every 6 months or so.
Always correct each other behind closed doors. Always compliment each other in public.
We'll get started right after this message. If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to pre-order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
Ready?
Yeah, all right. Hey, here we go. Kick-Ass Couples Podcast with our never-talked-to-before couple, Joseph and Fallon. All right. We're excited to be with you guys today.
We're excited also.
Welcome. Welcome. So on the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast, we like to start, we welcome you already, but we're glad that you're with us. An experienced kick-ass couple, no doubt. Had the opportunity to meet Joseph, who was kind of giving me lots of advice and all the reasons why I shouldn't start a podcast, even though, but here I am. Joseph, I didn't heed your advice, and I'm doing it anyways. We're doing it anyways with my bride. And glad we got to meet through a communal friend and have the two of you join us here today. And we want to start off with really the same question that we ask all of our couples. And we want to know from both of you, what makes you a kick-ass couple?
I believe what makes us a kick-ass couple is that we put God first in the center of our marriage, and then everything else just kind of flowed from that for us.
For me, what makes us a kick-ass couple, let's see how we're branding here. This is fantastic. Is that, yeah, like Fallon said, we built the foundation of our marriage on God. And when we fall in our human brokenness, God picks up the slack for us. And so he's the kick where the ass is.
I've never heard of this. That could be a new brand that emerging. Talking about marketing, Joseph.
Well, you're welcome. So that's my answer.
I love it. So what I hear you saying really is that that God is at the core of your marriage. He's the foundation. And from there, everything else comes into play.
100%. I think it would be presumptuous for us to think that we will not be one of the statistics of divorce out there without doing something different from what everybody else does. That different looks like making God the center. As long as I am growing in my faith, my wife is growing in her faith with him, he will protect the marriage. He will always show up and give us everything that we need, everything that we ask of him, if we put him first. That's his biblical promise. We're holding him to it.
I hear you. I really believe that we are a product of the people who raised us, that our family of origins play a big part in the relationships that we have once we meet our significant other. And, you know, sometimes we bring to that a really great experience, and sometimes we bring trauma, and sometimes we bring challenges and issues and baggage is what a lot of people would like to call it. So I'm just curious, what does your families of origin look like, and how does that play into your relationship now?
For me personally, I grew up in a super loving home. My parents just celebrated their 32nd anniversary. I was homeschooled. all the way up through until I went to college. And it was a very protected, loving home environment where we went to church every Sunday. We had family game night. We had family prayer night. And I always just felt safe and protected. And I never saw my parents argue like about anything serious. They always kept that behind closed doors. So I think that in a lot of ways, I avoided all kinds of traumas, any kinds of traumas. I was not a part of it. And that was a real blessing.
And what stands out to you most as one positive thing that you took from that experience in your younger years and brought to your marriage now?
I think mostly the not seeing my parents ever really fight. You know, I never saw them get angry at each other or call each other names or get super volatile in front of me or any of my siblings. So I think that was a blessing too. And I think I want to continue that with my own kids.
So you're committed to not bringing a lot of conflict to your children's eyes.
Right. I want them to always feel safe and loved and protected and know that mommy and daddy love each other.
Sure. Sure. And what about for you, Joseph? Tell me a little bit about what it was like for you growing up.
My wife comes from an emotionally healthy family. And that was very attractive to me because as a young man, I came from an emotionally dysfunctional family. And though my family was loving, my parents did the best they could with what they knew back then. There was a lot of dysfunction there, and there was spiritual dysfunction, religion dysfunction, just too much discipline, too much guilt and shame when it came to God and faith and spirituality. So I had a very unhealthy view of God the Father, and I didn't get to see much of his love and mercy and forgiveness. So that was very unattractive to me. I kind of say like I was taught more of the tyrannical side of God. So I wanted to run from that. And I did in my life, but God in his loving mercy came and brought me and brought me back to him. So having that foundation, unlike Fallon, where at 8.5 years old, my parents got divorced and it was 2 years of nasty, angry, hostile custody battles. And the kids, unfortunately, were used as pawns. There were 6 of us. And, my parents, they're good people, but man, they were in a survival mode. And they just made some poor decisions there. And we were innocent children caught in the middle. So I saw the complete opposite. That Fallon saw. I saw the public fighting with my parents, the yelling, the cursing, the saying things to your spouse that you should never ever say to another human being, let alone your spouse. And then saying things to your children, et cetera, that were so harmful and so traumatic. So I'm a product of that environment, as I'm sure many people are. By no means am I unique in that. So coming out of that, I realized that where I started and where God allowed me to begin my journey is not where I finish. I get a choice in that. And I get to choose the man I'm going to be, the father I'm going to be, the husband I'm going to be. And it does not have to look like that just because I came from that.
Yeah, it sounds like you've made a really intentional decision not to be like that. And I know a lot of our listeners can really relate to what you're coming from, where you came from, Joseph. And what I'd love to know is maybe one thing that you did that you brought to your marriage to turn that around. What's one thing that stands out to you that you committed to doing to be different?
Well, like Fallon alluded to, never fight in public. Never correct your spouse in public. When I say in public, that means in front of your children. It's the same in business. I had that rule in business that with my business partners, always correct each other behind closed doors, always compliment each other in public. And that was the rule. And it worked very effectively in business. And I suspect it and submit it works the same in marriage. So compliment your spouse, even if you're mad at them, even if you disagree with them, have their back in front of the kids and then go behind closed doors and say, I completely disagree with that decision. Let's talk about it. But never show that in front of the children, because that is where the enemy comes in and creates divisiveness. amongst the children, amongst the spouse, and amongst the family. And eventually it leads to divorce. And I've seen that firsthand.
I love what you said about really keeping that from the children and modeling that you have Fallon's back. I think that's so important because as soon as kids see that there's a little way in to be divisive, not even meaning to do it, they will do it. And then next they've sort of pinned you against each other. And I think it says a lot when the two of you are on the same page and the kids know that, wow, mom and dad are tight. Like they talk and we're not gonna be able to get in there and say, hey, mom, let us do this. Or maybe dad won't let us do that because, you know, they're one and they, you know, they've got each other's back.
I think this is also based off of a biblical principle, you know, where God talks about how, you know, a single string or thread by itself is easily breakable. But two cords together, when you put two or three cords together, it becomes really difficult to break those apart. So a husband and wife must be those two cords, but there's a third cord, which is God, right? So the three cords together become pretty impenetrable. And the kids can't divide, the enemy can't divide, and you have a foundation now that's solid, built on God. Husband and wife got each other's back no matter what. Doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. We're human, we're broken. But in front of the children, we are one single flesh. We are one voice, period. You can't go to mommy and go, well, daddy said this, liar, right? Mommy said this, liar, right? You can't do that because mommy's going to go.
And they will.
Right, and they will. And when they do that, our plan is to say, okay, got it. Let me go get daddy and see if he said that.
Let me check in with dad.
Let me check in with no, mom. Don't get daddy. Don't. Oh, why not? Is there something you want to tell mommy right now? Right? And so when they see that, there's just an impenetrable wall that loves and supports them, this mommy and daddy, and they also see that mommy and daddy are pointed at God. Man, that just sets them up with everything they need for their lives to be successful, doesn't it?
Right, it does. And I think that what you're talking about, you know, we say the old term, you know, having somebody's back, but that commitment, the idea that no matter what, you know, they're going to catch you. They're not going to let you fall and they're not going to do something to hurt you. Why would you hurt, you know, your spouse, your number one relationship after God? Why would you do anything to damage that? And I think that really leads into kind of what we want to talk about next, which is the first of our three pillars. We have 13 pillars, as I think, you know, you guys saw, and we think the three most important are the three C's. And the first of those C's is commitment. And I think that it all starts with commitment. And some of the things I've heard you guys talking about are wonderful examples of that. But I'd love to hear from both of you is how do you show up for each other in your relationship and demonstrate that commitment? What does it look like for you? And what does it look like when your spouse does it for you as well?
Well, Joseph and I actually had a lot of commitment conversations prior to getting married. And it wasn't just like, let's get married. I'm committed to loving you for the rest of my life. It wasn't like super basic. Like we went into specifics. We were committed to how we were going to raise our kids. We committed to healthy lifestyles. We committed to going to church. And, you know, we were very specific in how we wanted to commit to each other in all different areas. And obviously, marriage can throw things at us that maybe we didn't think of or didn't talk about prior to, but we tried to cover as many of those things that we could possibly cover before making the commitment of marriage to each other. Anything to add to that, Joseph?
I always have something. No. I think, you know, commitment to me is going back to what we said, commitment to God first, that the rest of my life belongs to Him, period. And then commitment to my wife, the rest of my life belongs to her, right? And that no matter what, I'm there for her. No matter what, I'm not leaving. No matter how annoying at times she can occur because she's human just like me, I'm not leaving, right? It's that stubborn resistance or stubborn stick-to-itiveness that I'm here, I'm not going anywhere, no matter how ugly this person can occur. I think that And then the same for me, right, with her. And I think that creates a very real sense of security and safety, especially for a female, to have that grounding, knowing that God will never leave her and her husband will never leave her, no matter what.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a beautiful description of commitment right there. And I think that also what I hear you saying is that, you know, God, again, is the core. And then after that, obviously Fallon, and then maybe it's children or whatever comes next. But at the core, again, is God. And I think that's a wonderful, beautiful thing. There are no outs, right? That's what I heard you say. There's no plan B. And you go into it knowing that. And
right.
That is critical.
Both of us talked about this. We both said prior to marriage, divorce is not in our vocabulary. So if we're getting married, like, we are fully 100% committed. There's no, like, you know, people sign prenuptial agreements just in case, you know, there was no just in case for us. We right. were 100% in.
Love sure. it. Love it.
You got to burn the ships when you get married. Burn the ships.
Blow the bridge and burn right. the ships, right? When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder how you're doing? We found that there are 13 key components that make up a thriving relationship, which is why we've created the Kick-Ass Assessment. In this powerful free tool, you'll learn what they are and how you and your spouse are ranking in each one. And you'll get recommendations that will help you start improving today. To get your results, simply visit MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. It's time to start kicking ass. Let's go.
Well, and that sort of leads into our next of the three C's, which is communication. And that sometimes can be dicey, right? How we communicate with each other. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes there's stonewalling. And we'll get into conflict resolution next. We'll save that for last. But tell me a little bit about how you communicate. Tell me when it's good. And then maybe when it's not so good, how do you communicate then?
Oh, I'll take this one. I'll be the first to admit I was an awful communicator when we were dating. And that was something I really had to grow in. I have like a super analytical, overthinking, overanalyzing type of brain. So if I don't have the perfect way to say something or express feelings or a conflict per se, like, I just will internalize it until I feel like I have the perfect way to say it, which then leads to me just not ever saying it because obviously there's no perfect way to communicate. And he, being from New York, Long Island, New York, he was perfectly fine being super direct about however it comes out, right? And so there was a lot of headbutting in the beginning there, and I had a lot of growing to do in that area. I think I'm doing better now. What do you think, Joseph? Yeah.
I think that's a learned, it sounds to me like that's a learned behavior for you. And that you're working on becoming open and vulnerable in your relationship.
Oh, yes, totally. Being vulnerable with my feelings. And then also, I think I was overly concerned with how he was going to take it because I have super high levels of empathy. So like, if I'm going to say something like, hey, you hurt me when you did this, or I disagree with this, or whatever it may be, I was really concerned about how he was going to respond to it rather than sure. just opening myself up to whatever happened.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to that very same thing. What have you done to open up? What have you done to sort of practice being a little more vulnerable and open with Joseph?
Well, Joseph has been a big help in this as far as sometimes he will lead the conversation, but then he'll sit back and be silent and won't say anything until I speak. He's like, this is your turn. You're up. You got to tell me what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what's going on. And then we also had learned a little trick from another couple friends of ours that they called it a marriage reset that they said they do every 6 months or so. And it really helps someone like me who like overthinks things. So what they described it as, you get out a piece of paper and a pen or a notepad or whatever, you sit down together, you kind of let each other know, hey, let's do a marriage reset. I've got some things I want to, you know, get off my chest or some things I want to communicate. And it sets up a super safe feeling environment where I can just say how I'm feeling to my husband and he's not responding. He's not saying anything. He's just writing down notes. And then it's his turn. He gets to say anything that's been bothering him, anything that's been on his mind, anything at all. And I'm just sitting silently, listening, writing notes. And then we talk about it or we take those lists and we go pray to God about it. That's a super simplified version of what we do, but
love that example.
Yeah. Yeah. It really helped me because then I felt like I was set up in a safe, protected environment. And I, you know, I knew what was happening or what, how he was going to respond, which was silence. I could just say what I wanted. So, yeah.
That's great. How about you, Joseph? Do you have anything to add to that or maybe something different that you communicate?
I think in every relationship or marriage, you have one spouse that's the better communicator and the other one that's a struggle. It's a learned behavior for them. And in our marriage, I've been in business. I've been a public speaker. I do podcasts. So communication is my jam. That's my thing. And coming from New York, you're just very direct. You tell people how you feel, you tell them how they did you wrong, and you give them an opportunity to correct it or leave your life, you know, that type of experience. So for me, that comes very natural. And it was very difficult for me when we entered marriage that was a foreign concept to her, was to outwardly share what you're feeling, to outwardly communicate what I did wrong. That your body is showing you're annoyed right now, but your mouth isn't saying anything. Like, I need to know, right? Like Matthew said, men don't read minds and men need very specific information. If you want us to work on something, it's the same in business. Like, what's the specific thing you want me to do? Okay, yes or no, I'm gonna do it or I'm not gonna do it. So I never had a choice in the matter. When there's no clear communication of how do I become a better husband? Well, if you don't tell me, I don't know. You can't just tell me there's a problem, but not tell me what the problem is and then how I can do better. That leaves me in a very awkward place of powerlessness, not a comfortable feeling for a man in a marriage. And because it's so uncomfortable, we will pull ourselves away from the one we love because they're creating that powerlessness feeling in us. And I think a lot of men can relate to this in their own relationships with their spouses. So for me, that was extremely difficult and many conversations with God, you know, asking him to communicate what was on my wife's heart because she wasn't there yet. And for the first time, it was a year into the marriage where we're 2 years in now. Our anniversary is actually this week coming up, 2 year anniversary. And the first year, like we had never got into a fight in the 2 years we dated, like an argument, a disagreement. And that was really concerning me. Like truly concerning me because I was like, I don't know how this girl responds to conflict. I need to know.
How does she fight?
How does she fight? Like, is she a dirty fighter? Is she a runner? Like, what does she do? It's a fair question.
Fair question.
Right. And I think so many people in their dating, you need to know how the other person fights or deals with conflict, right? What comes out. So she never would show that. So,
and he admits that he tried to get me angry. He would do or say things specifically thinking, all right, I gotta see what she's like when she's mad.
Gotta poke the wow, bear, poke you know, bear, see, yeah. Poke the bear. And she never did. So it wasn't, and then we got married. And I just surrendered it to God. And then we're married for a year, no fights, no conflict. And I was like, what the heck? Like I married a unicorn or I'm totally wrong here, right? And so then it was literally after our first anniversary, we got into this disagreement And I felt so alienated from her, and like she wasn't hearing me, and all my ego just built up so big where it was all consuming these feelings I had. And I normally go first in the communication, like Fallon said, because it comes natural. But this time I didn't want to. And my pride was just through the roof. And I was like, no, she messed up. She needs to come to me this time. I'm not going to her. And I reached out.
You turned away.
I turned away. I went and I isolated myself. Isolated. And the way I show that when I'm hurt, and I realize that's a behavior of mine that comes from childhood and what I saw in my own dad, was a shutdown of my emotions, put up a wall and close off my heart to you. And that scared the bleep out of me when I saw that come out of me, and I behaved that way in that conflict. So I got to see a true mirror image of how dysfunctional my conflict behavior is. And so I had to go to God with that. And but at the same time, I'm like, I'm not going to her. And that's when I reached out to my buddy and I sought wise counsel. And I said, you've been married this many years. And Fallon mentioned it. He taught me the marriage reset. And he's like, dude, you think you're the only one? Like, come on, buddy. Like, you know, and so I was like, what do I do? And he says, well, first off, it's interesting because you like coach couples and in your coaching and stuff. So it's interesting you're coming to me. I'm like, yeah, shoemaker with holes in his shoes. Okay, let's move on. Like, what do I do? And he said, he taught us the marriage reset. He's like, you just got distracted from your vision for the marriage that you and Fallon set. Get back to the vision, recommit, and then just go. And then plan to have these marriage resets on a regular basis. Find out your rhythm in your marriage. How often do you need to do a marriage reset in your marriage? He said, for us, it's every 6 months. For you, maybe 6 months or every year. Maybe it's every 3 months. Whatever it is, don't make it wrong or right. Just create what works. And that, all of a sudden, I saw new hope where I had none. In that feeling, those all-consuming feelings. So that's my short, really short New York answer. You're welcome.
So how do you, it sounds like you shared a little bit with it, how you resolved that conflict and got counsel and did the marriage reset. So what about when it's not something major? And I think that's a good, the marriage reset is a great tool that we're going to share with our listeners, obviously, as That's a great way to, when something big has happened, to, all right, we're out of alignment. That, we just had this big blow up. Something's wrong. We got to get back in alignment. But what about for those day-to-day things? How do you keep those little things from coming out of the cracks and seeping in, and you know that piece of sand that turns into the major irritants? What do you guys do day-to-day to make sure that you're resolving small things so they don't become big things?
If I may, I think that me practicing my communication has helped just in general, because if I can communicate what I'm thinking and feeling, then we can work on resolving the issue. If I don't say what I'm thinking or feeling and he has no idea, then there's nothing to be resolved. And then it just kind of festers. And I found that the more I speak up, the more often I do it, the more often I go to him and say, hey, I'm feeling this way or thinking this, the easier it gets each time. Because every time I do it, he's responding with love and he's responding with forgiveness, because that's the commitment that he made to this marriage. So
yeah, I love hearing that he's created a safe space for you to do that.
Right, yes.
You're feeling more comfortable doing that each time you do it. So
exactly.
It works both ways.
Yeah. So the quality what I hear you say, Fallon, is the quality communication, the more quality communication you have, the less conflict there is, because you've got mutual understanding of each other's needs, wants, desires, or feelings. Feelings is what Joseph talked about earlier, is I didn't know what she was feeling. I couldn't figure it out. And it drove me nuts.
And when you can communicate those small things, they don't grow and grow and grow into something huge. You can, but Joseph calls them rocks. You know, you can blow up those little tiny pebbles. It's a lot more effort to blow up a boulder.
Sure. Well, after the three C's, we have other pillars, and I think you may have a list of those. And I'm curious, to which of those, Fallon, I'm going to ask you first, which of the other pillars stands out to you or is more important to you, and why?
immediately, I'm jumping to faith and moral code. Like we talked about in the beginning, you know, if you don't have faith, if you don't have a similar moral code, in our case, you know, following God's law and putting him first in our marriage, then you're going to be out of alignment pretty much everywhere else.
Yeah, that's your compass.
Yes, exactly. It points north.
Love it. How about for you, Joseph? Is there one that stands out to you that you resonate most with?
Number 12 is appreciation. And I wish, wishing doesn't help us in life, but I wish I felt more appreciated sometimes, and it's communicated. My number one love language, if you're familiar with the five love languages, my number one is affirmations. So for me to verbally hear from my spouse, I did something well, or, you know, just something she admires or something she saw that I did good on a regular basis is vital. For me. And I don't want it to be because it puts me in a vulnerable place. I'd rather not need that, but that's how God wired me. So rather than make it wrong, I've learned to be vulnerable and communicate, hey, this is a need for me in our relationship. I know that your love language is right quality time and physical touch. So that's a need for you. It's not optional. And though that's number five or six on my list of less important love languages, it's your number one. So I must show up and give you your number one on a regular basis, regardless of the cost. And that's difficult sometimes. I don't want to, right? Like, I'm human, like the rest of us. So I actively do that. And when sometimes that's not reciprocated, my number one's not reciprocated. And it's difficult. I get it, right? Especially when she's pregnant and she's dealing with all her physical stuff going on. And the last thing she wants to do is give me an affirmation. Like, so that leaves me feeling unappreciated. It leaves me feeling disrespected sometimes in the marriage. And that's not a good place for me. That's where the enemy now can go to work with some lies, right? Put it into my head, et cetera. So that's something I've done my best to communicate. However, number 12, I also think is married to number five, which is patience and waiting on God to grow my wife in that communication has been something that has really grown me in patience. And it's the last one on the list I want to grow in, like, to be real. Like, I can occur very impatient. Hello, New Yorker. Like, look at the way we drive. Okay. Like, so the very thing that I need to grow in is what God keeps giving me opportunities to grow in my marriage. And he gave me the wife that can irritate that patience button in me. But it's good. It's for good. Growth only comes through friction, through that rubbing of the rocks together. So I've learned to appreciate it. I don't like it, just to be real. I don't like that I have to grow in patience, but God definitely gave me the right woman to grow me in the very thing I need to grow in.
I will say this was one thing we were concerned about pre-marriage was that our love languages were literally the opposite. My number one is physical touch, and that was his number five. His number one was words of affirmation, and that was my number five, like all the way down at the bottom. So that's something we've both been growing in as far as like showing each other love in a way that the other person can hear it and feel it and receive it.
Yeah, that's a tough skill, a thing to learn is you don't love people the way you want to love them. You love them the way they want to be loved and what they need. And I think that's a real pearl that all couples struggle with. Even if you know it, it doesn't mean you're always doing it. Like Joseph, you were saying, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want it. I'm impatient. Come on. If it can't happen quick, I don't want to do it. Right. And I think that's a challenge, and that dials back a little bit to commitment. So when you are committed and you have that commitment in the relationship, you know they're going to give you what you need. And if they aren't, you can say, hey, woo, time out, reset, not getting, you know, that love language has kind of been left in the closet. You know, I need you. I'll often look at Kim and I go, how well am I filling your love tank right now? Right. And if it's below a 9.5, I know I've got a lot of work to do and be mindful of. So I appreciate that. And we've been talking a lot about success and what quality and commitment and those things look like. And Kim and I are big believers in what we call spillover thinking. And I think that your relationship, our relationship is kind of after our Heavenly Father is number one. And if we're doing well there, it's going to overflow with goodness and it's going to benefit other areas of our lives. How have you two seen the success and joy and love of your relationship spill over into other areas of your life? How have you seen that play out?
To clarify, our relationship or our relationship with God?
Your relationship with each other. So the goodness that's happened between the two of you, how has that spilled over outside of your relationship, whether it's your work, Joseph, or your family, Fallon, or other people in your community, others that get to experience the two of you?
You know, it's funny. The first thing that came to my mind was our daughter, Alora. She was the first thing that came to my mind as an outpouring or a spillover of our love, right? Mm. And the reason I say that is because she is just so peaceful and joyful. And I don't know. I guarantee it was nothing we did. That was all God right there. But she is like she sleeps through the night. She sits like an angel in church at 1 year old. And she's like the perfect example of the spillover of our love, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's not what I was going to say, but I can't argue that. People compliment Alora all the time. Like, your baby stands out from everyone, like not just in the looks, but her behavior. Like, what is that? How is she so peaceful? And we're like, well, the fruit comes from the tree. So it's either going to show up as good fruit or bad fruit based on the tree. So if the marriage is rotten, the fruit's going to have some rotten in it. It's just what's so. And that doesn't mean like colicky kids come from bad parents. Like, I'm not saying that in any way. I am saying, though, when we put God first in our marriage, he takes care of all those things. So he's going to show up. That peace, love, and joy that we feel in the marriage is going to show up in our children. It just is. So I agree with Fallon on that. Alora is, Jesus says, you will know them by their fruit. So Alora is a reflection of our marriage, period. If she's showing up well in the world, then we're probably doing something right in our marriage. If she's not showing up well in the world, we probably want to take a deeper look at our marriage.
Well, thank you both so much. This has been a really great opportunity, and you've shared a lot of great pearls with our listeners. And so I'm grateful to both of you for showing up today, for being open and vulnerable with us, and for sharing.
I am too. I appreciate getting a peek and seeing what's going on and what you guys are doing to make it work. And the challenges are not different that you're facing, and having to be able to see how people are handling that gives kind of some insight into it. And we're going to...
One last fun question.
You want to ask it?
We like fun.
Oh, it's fun.
I'll let you ask.
Oh, before you ask that question, can we jump in? Because we were thinking there should be a number 14 on your list.
A 14? Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to write it in now.
Listen, we're both little control freaks like this, okay?
Love it.
So number 14 is fun and playfulness.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Like 100%, that childlike playfulness in the marriage. And, you know, if we looked at a human thing that makes our marriage work, is we laugh a lot, we play a lot, we poke at each other a lot. We're playful and childlike spirits, which shows up in our children, right? And our friends see that as well. And it's like, if we're not taking ourselves too seriously, individually and collectively, then like that joy just just seeps through the marriage into all areas. It's just a reservoir. So I think playfulness for any of your couples out there, like stop taking yourself so seriously. Have some fun with each other. Remember when you were dating and you had fun and you laughed and you didn't like always discuss important, serious topics?
Sure. It's a must. Like, I agree.
It's critical.
You got to lighten up. No doubt. Yeah. There's enough seriousness. And if you're not having fun, it's going to be a long road, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So we're going to go back. Joseph, we're going to ask you this first. Go back in time, a couple years, right? You're dating and you're thinking, man, this might be the one. And you can go back to your unmarried, pre-married self, put the hands on your own shoulders and go, listen, buddy, I'm going to give you one piece of advice. What would that one piece of advice be that you'd give to your unmarried self?
Don't do it. No, I'm kidding.
run fast.
Run.
What would I say to my former self? Well, my former self was an idiot. I was young. I was immature. I was very selfish, very self-centered, and God had a lot of work to do in me. So what I would say to my former self is, run to God and let him heal you sooner. Spend time with the Lord, hour a day, do holy hours. Let God heal the trauma. Let God heal the brokenness that you didn't choose. You were an innocent little kid, but man, that was put on you. And yes, your family loved you, but man, you got some serious emotional dysfunction going on there, buddy. Like, and you're going to bring that into, well, it's clear you bring it into all your dating relationships. That's why you keep attracting emotionally dysfunctional girls. Like I did, that's my track record. And when Fallon was introduced into my life and God brought her into my life when I was praying earnestly, seeking him, God, bring me a godly wife. I'm ready. I think I'm ready to get married. Well, he brought her to me. And do you know that my dysfunctional brain didn't recognize her as that godly girl that answered prayer? Instead, my dysfunctional brain saw her as boring, plain, ordinary, not attractive to me, not my type, because she was emotionally healthy. And that was foreign to me because I had so much dysfunction going on. So it was only after God healed me by spending silence and quiet time with him, then I was able to recognize the gift that he had given me and choose wisely, choose a godly woman to spend the rest of my life with and have a great marriage because of that. That's what I would say, not only to my former self, but to everyone listening that grew up in dysfunction. Go first to God and let him heal you, right? From your own brokenness. No blame, but there's stuff in there. There's some rocks. Let him blow it up. Then you are ready to be that godly spouse in your marriage and godly parent that you so want to be, but just can't figure out how. Only God can. It's his strength.
Yeah. Great, great response. Wonderful response. All right, Fallon, you're stepping up.
My advice to myself would have been to pray specifically earlier. And the reason I say that is because I fell in love with Joseph very, very early on, within the first few months, I'd say, of dating him. And we dated for almost 2 years before he got engaged. And there was about a year and a half in or so, he still had not told me that he loves me. And that was like really eating at me because I've been loving him for like a year at this point. And it hit me. Oh my gosh, Fallon, you haven't even prayed about this, at least not specifically. Like I had prayed, oh God, you know, bring me the man of my dreams, bring me my husband, you know, things like that. But I didn't get specific. So I actually went to God and I prayed. I said, God, please let Joseph tell me he loves me if he's the man you want me to be with. And if not, said, if you don't want me to be with him, please let him break up with me because I don't have the heart to do it because I'm in love with him. So, and then I was open to either one, you know, whichever way that went, I was going to know that that was God's will for my life. And wouldn't you know it, within, I think, 30 days, Joseph's taking me out on a date and we pull up to the restaurant and he says, before we get out of the car, he says, Fallon, I have something to tell you. And I was like, oh boy, here it comes. What's it going to be? And he says, I don't know when it happened or how it happened, but I'm in love with you. I am in love with you. And I just about fell out of the car. Wow. As he did not know that I prayed this prayer. That was all in private. And we went to dinner. That was probably the best dinner I'd ever had with him, because I just knew what was going to happen, right? He has no idea. He just knows he loves me. So that would be my advice to myself, is to do that earlier. Pray specifically to God about which direction you want your life to go in.
Great guidance. Thank you so much.
Good stuff.
Loved having time with you all today and learning from you, and expanding our pillars to 14 now. We appreciate that. And
yes.
Thank you for taking the time and for sharing with us. We loved having you. And if people want to learn more, Joseph, about what you do, where can people find you? Tell us how, if people want to learn more about you guys, how do they connect?
Well, if you connect with Fallon in any way, you have to go through me, because she's my bride and I say so. So, second, you can find out what I do. I have two top 100 podcasts, Broken Catholic. That's brokencatholic.com, brokencatholic.com. And your first 100K entrepreneurship podcast, if you want to make six figures or more, we teach you how. That's first100k.com, first100k.com. And then for my coaching, if you have some rocks in your life, and we all have rocks, if you got rocks in your marriage or rocks in your parenting that keep you disconnected from your kids and they're now teenagers and you want to reconnect with them, but you weren't there for them, you were an absent parent perhaps because you were building your business, or you got rocks in your faith and your between you and God, and you just don't know how to have that real relationship that you see other people having with him. And you're like, why can't I have that? If you want to blow up those rocks once and for all, like permanently, not in a way that's therapy or counseling, just talking about your problems and learning ways to manage or cope with your problems, but never actually getting rid of them. If you want to get rid of them, like once and for all, just go to blowuprocks.com, blowuprocks.com, schedule a complimentary call with me, and we'll just talk about like what's going on in your life and what do you actually want? And then what does God want to do about it?
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. That's an awesome need that's being met out there. So kudos to you. And kudos to both of you for today. Thank you so, so much. We are so grateful that you opened up to us and to our listeners today, and you really shared from your hearts. So thank you.
Thank you
for having us. This was actually my first time on a podcast, even though my husband hosts podcasts.
You did amazing. You did.
I don't mix business.
Never know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Could be the start of something new. That's you might be pushing them out. Alan, you might be nudging them out of the
Someone
driver's
should.
Seat there.
Someone should.
Good. Well, thank you guys.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's upcoming book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com. And we'll get it over to you right away.
Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.